Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
John Singleton Mosby, also known by his nickname the Grey Goose, was a Confederate Army Cavalry Battalion commander in the American Civil War, and they like named the state of Virginia
Mike,
after him.
Everybody come to my pool. All are welcome, just some are more welcome than others.
You gotta have to drain them when people poo?
No.
They might say they do.
You shock the pool. Shock the pool.
Oh, you shocked the pool, but that's it for the day.
A number two will give you a good 45 minutes to an hour so everybody's just got to chill. Throw up, you can probably get done in 30 minutes, depending on the pH level.
What pool did you go to? Tomaine Acres? What's happening with that?
Fecal Falls.
Salmonella Shores? Welcome to the E. coli Swim Club.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
If you missed Friday night's show, it is indelibly clear to me that our wives are far more popular than we are. That is,
yes.
After the many shows that we have done over the years, I reflect on that briefly, but then when I find myself closer to the next show, I think about it a little bit more, and I wonder. I wonder a couple of things. Is it their just raw talent, their ability, their fit with our listening audience, or is it our listening audience's just craving for something new and exciting and different? I think it. I'm not going to take away from the talent of these young ladies that are so very, very fun for us to have on a monthly basis on the show. But I will also say I get I constantly get a sense of our audience craving the new. I truly do. And I think that's
that,
something
but
we should be mindful of.
There is a third factor that you have not addressed, which is the innate, although we love having them, there is always the chance of discomfort and awkwardness when they're here. Because they disrupt the curve. And they love, oh boy, the listeners love awkward. Oh boy, they love discomfort. And they love the chance of it. It's like the difference between kinetic and potential energy. There's potential awkward at all times, and they dig that. So I think that's something, too.
Before the show, I go through the guys, and on the show today, fear not, it's very much top of mind. We will get a Swimply update from Oscar Santana. Who,
fine establishment.
Everybody, I was talking about it with my family on Saturday night, and major laughs when just the idea came up, which was a big thing. And then before the show, I asked each of the guys, you know, what do you have? Oscar's got a thing with his mom that he wants to talk about. Rob, you were telling me something you wanted to talk about, but I wrote something else down when you
said
that.
What did you write?
So, well, what did you want to talk about? You gave me a headline, headline.
Well, I said that what I'm doing to seek comfort in these weird times is sort of upsetting. I think. I don't think it's really.
Okay. All right.
What gives
when
me comfort.
When you were saying that, I usually type down what you guys say.
Right.
I write down. I wrote, did Rob ruin the bonus show?
Oh, no. I don't think Rob ruined the bonus show.
I didn't say, did I say that I thought Rob ruined the bonus show?
No, you're just entertaining the thought of me perhaps ruining the bonus show.
There were two, the aforementioned young women, and one who really wasn't heard from. Because she was chewing ice and she wasn't paying attention. But I will tell you this, that two of the women during Rob's music fail segment, which,
yes,
by the way,
yes,
I am responsible for, I requested it.
I thought it went well.
Are we getting that skip, that echo again?
I don't hear an echo right now, but
all right, I think it might be gone.
Okay.
All right, hello. There, it's gone. Was it you?
It was not me. I didn't touch a thing.
Was it you, Rob?
I, just to make sure, turned down my send a little bit more. It had been turned down already, so just to double check.
I requested music fails. which the greatest example of a music fail is the 2001 Space Odyssey, also Zapruska, or whatever it's called. And Rob has a, I think, a high school band or maybe a middle school band playing it. And it's one of the funniest things I think I've ever heard.
Great. And the thing is, we've never done a quote unquote audio vault on a bonus show. And this was a specialized audio vault that I thought was pretty dead on. But also,
I didn't read any negatives about it, but I certainly read a positive on it.
Yeah.
A very glowing review of somebody talking about that. But I will say that Mrs. Zaballos and Mrs. O'Mara had a problem with it. They seemed to drift off in the middle of it.
They weren't shy about offering an opinion. They were very clear in their opinions.
Shannon was very, very, very
crystal.
Began to stretch and eat and do those things.
So,
I mean, what is your take on it?
My take is that
Oscar's take.
Look, that type of entertainment plays well to us because we like seeing people fail.
Right,
for them, they're like, why would you play these dorks that can't play instruments? They don't get the bit.
Yeah,
so,
but the bit is designed for mass consumption. So
I get it. That's what concerns me.
Now, I think my own personal criticism of Mr. Spiewak is that he went into his world a little bit.
Oh, got too
because
deep?
There was Elvis and there were the Beatles.
They weren't all massive fails.
Rob, that you have played audio fails, I think, that are just generic audio fails.
Yeah, and that's what I thought it was going to be. That was the bulk of it. I would say there was one Beatles mess up, I believe. There was two Elvis mess ups. The total time spent on those three
tapes.
There were two Elvis mess ups. The total time spent on those tapes, less than a minute, I think.
If you have it, look, for what was tried. What was almost ruined within that segment, and I get where you're coming from. Like, it wasn't, it's hard to get every member of our family to buy into a bit, even if it's our personal ones. In fairness to Rob,
I'll be telling a story, and Carrie will be chewing ice and saying, you know, talking to Linus. I get that every time
so
I do it.
That comes with the territory. But for what was lost with the chewing ice, what was gained with, and if you haven't listened, shame on you. Please
go ahead
and listen to that. Now, there's a reference to sucking toes that completely made me almost fall out of my chair.
And
just thinking about it yesterday alone in my house, being like, I can't wait to hear more about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
You remember it?
I do, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Now, because we went off on a certain of a a tangent on feet. And
Mike, do you remember it?
Yes, I remember the comment.
Yes.
I didn't hear it the first time, and then we did a callback to it. Was she referencing your own activities?
I would say that it has been done.
I think she was alluding to them doing that.
It has been done. It's been some time. Keep in mind, Mike, we've been together a long time.
Too funny.
You're much younger. Yeah.
Too funny. I thought that we had a fun bonus show, Mike. A really, really fun one.
Well, I did too. Let's not be honest. It was not really my wife as much as your wife, who was really rough on Rob when it came to
she doesn't pull punches as I don't,
you know.
Sort of our relationship too.
Yeah,
even in real life, she's Carla.
After the fact, I asked her about what was the problem, and then she was she kind of went along with Shannon on that.
Yeah,
and I was just I'm laughing out loud when I'm hearing the bungee jumping bagpiper was
also good.
I mean, I'm sorry. I think that's funny. That's funny with a capital F. And I requested it. I said, I'd love to have an entire audio vault of that.
I think you have to have a certain appreciation of music as a rule.
Yeah.
Also to enjoy. And if you're not musically inclined, I mean, everyone likes music, but if you have more of a vested interest in music, you're going to enjoy it more because you get to see it veering off the beaten path. And it's
the three of us are in agreement that the bit is solid.
It's not for them. It's for us.
Yeah.
They're here once a month.
Well, no, for many of the listeners.
Well, as punishment, then, I will impose a no eating rule.
I would love that
for Shannon.
I've asked her a zillion times.
Shannon is not allowed to eat during the entire show.
And ice counts. Ice is food, no chewing
ice. Ice is the same thing. Chewing.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it.
I found gone. It disrespectful, as I told Shannon off mic, when I muted my mic, because I have that power, and I said,
I didn't find it disrespectful. I found it cute at the beginning. Yes. But I said, if we all agreed that the bit was solid, because I, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know unless I get feedback. And when I get feedback from the woman I'm married to, and I think it speaks to generationally, and Shannon's younger than Carla. Yeah. But they're both in that same ballpark, and I think they both. I think it's like ADD. I think it's these kids today.
Why don't we ask Maddie? She gets a show.
That's true.
This is that's putting her on the spot.
Yeah, I would love her to be honest about it.
That is putting her on the spot.
Well, so I enjoyed the bit, but I would say I felt like it went a little bit too long. But the content
was
funny. That is
three young women that are saying that.
But that's ADD again. That's too much. You know, too long. Why can't you do it like an electric? Why can't you do a TikTok video?
I was drinking. All right, then I'll be the only one to say it. I kind of drifted on it too. When you got into the Beatles. It pissed me off that you put the Beatles in the music video. It wasn't that big a fail. It was just a, you know, the fail is the idea. For a Beatles fail is not a real fail. A Beatles fail is let's do another take.
How many? That's why it's odd, because they're guarded about their fails.
If you're talking about the sanctity of the bit,
right?
The bit is.
I didn't realize there was a sanctity.
Well, the people playing music that can't play music. Mm.
Mm-mm. Okay, so I made it too broad. Just overall fails.
I think you made it broad, but you also brought your favorite things into it. In your little tiny world, your little small world that has Elvis and Jerry and the Beatles and Paul McCartney.
Are there more contemporary fails is the question.
Actually, there was one we did, the Jennifer Lopez fail, that I thought was quite modern.
Yeah, but, you know, that's one out of 30, right?
No, there was, I think, 17.
Okay, fails. Too many. 10 fails is enough. Just because you have them doesn't mean you have to play them. 10 is enough. You could the 10 would get, hey, guys, I have my top 10 fails out of my vault. Here you go.
All right. Now I see my misstep.
Here's the question I have for the audio fails. Do we have, all right, because I'll tell you what I love. I told you, the 2001 thing. When you hear, what's the one you play? You play it, like, not on the audio, but you play it, like, during the show a lot, too.
Is it the Jurassic Park one?
Yeah, yeah, that's fun. Yeah,
the melodica?
That's a big one.
Do you have that? Do you have that handy?
Yeah, give me a second.
Do you have that handy for purpose? Okay, I could hear it.
Those are staples, right? Those are, like, 1, 2,
and
3.
That is, to me, the idea of someone playing an instrument. My dear friend, Colonel Michael Colbert, sent me an ancient clip of phenomenal musicianship. All right, let's play this first.
I want this to be my ringtone.
And also, you know, that is not, that also is really does step outside the sanctity of the bit, because that is a purposeful misrepresentation of it. But still,
funny. So we did that on purpose?
I thought that was done by like a high school band.
Oh,
or something.
See, that takes the fun out of it if it was on purpose.
Oh, now
it's right.
No,
it's not. If he's trying to sound bad, that really.
You don't know. It landed in my lap as a generic YouTube file, I don't know.
Don't tell me that.
Well,
please.
No, you see, buddy, Mike, you got to know how they make the sausage sometimes.
You mean the Easter Bunny isn't real?
Stop it. How dare you? He's very real and delicious.
I would say this. If you can get this sent to you from YouTube, there must be so many more fails out there that are contrived that we don't need to know about.
If it's that way, I'll get my recorder. I'll get my high level recorder out. Yeah, I have a recorder up here. I'll play my recorder tomorrow. I'll play requests on my recorder. Well, tomorrow on the show, remind me to bring my recorder in.
I can't wait.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I bought a recorder, and I will bring it in. And I will play requests on the show tomorrow.
Oh,
I promise you I will do that.
Is it a brown one or a white one? Because they usually come in two colors.
Yeah, like that hot cocoa brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or sort
white,
of like a cream.
Like cream white. Yeah, we all had them in school.
Yeah.
I'll bring those in.
I'd like that.
I'll bring those in tomorrow. But it's interesting. It's interesting because my idea of the fail is just something that's played horribly. And it's usually an instrument, not necessarily. Oh, there are vocals too. We've had national anthems that have been destroyed.
Oh, yes.
By people. Mm-hmm. The greatest one was created by our own show, The Don and Mike Show, when Dennis Murphy sang it at the softball game and forgot the lyrics.
Oh, like so right at the front.
You see, by the dawn's early note, it's probably we held at the starlight's at the twilight's last gleaming. Who's duh?
Yeah.
When he just trailed off because he literally went, who's duh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you were to do a closed caption, it would have a dot, dot, dot because it just sort of ceased to be. It's just.
By the way, at a time in my life when, full disclosure on this, at a time in my life where I was having some real anxiety issues, not necessarily on the show, but definitely live performing out of my comfort zone, there was the greatest stress for anybody that has never had the honor to sing a national anthem at a sporting event. And I've had the honor of doing it once in the minor leagues and once in the big leagues. Did it once before a Nationals game at the old RFK when they were playing there. That's how long ago it was. The greatest anxiety source of the national anthem is forgetting the lyrics, period.
Sure.
It's the only thing you worry about. At least I speak from experience, that's what I worry. I was so stressed at the Potomac Nationals game.
I remember.
That you remember that I was stressed?
I remember when you did it. I remember it was
because I don't think I let anybody know how nervous I was. I think I popped a Xanax before I did
that.
Because I was so worried about. I said I need to relax, or I'm gonna. I think people forget the lyrics not because they forget, but they forget the lyrics because of the pressure of the moment.
The pressure. Didn't Robert Goulet forget the lyrics before a
famous
big sporting event?
Forgot.
Yeah.
People have forgotten the lyrics all over the place. I did it with, I brought my daughters out at RFK Stadium. I think it was RFK, right? Was it RFK
Stadium? The old stadium.
I brought the old stadium, and I brought them up, and I said, oh, say. I did my first, can you see by the, and I did that, and the idea of a PA announcer, the immediacy of it, caused me a bit of stress. You've experienced that.
Oh, yeah. But you know what?
The immediacy of the PA at a sporting event where there is no room, there is no
net.
You can't
mess it up.
You can't screw it up.
When they opened up FedEx Field, where at that point it was Jack Kent Cooke Stadium, it was the greatest sound system in the NFL. It was, huge. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that the producer said to me is a guy named Chuck Sapienza, a really nice guy that helped make sure everything on the field went good in the pregame.
He's a good man. Hey, Sapienza, when's that Spiewak boy going to come into the stadium and sing a song for you?
But it was so cool because we had to back time against national TV stuff, too. So he'd say, we've got to pull off the field goal kicking contest, but we've got to do it in 82 seconds. I'd say, great.
Yeah.
And he'd be counting down. I mean, all that stuff. And we tended to do a pretty good job. But he said, the first time, he said, remember, listen to yourself. Don't listen to the speakers because it's almost a full second later that you're going to hear yourself coming back. And the second you either listen for yourself or, God forbid, one time I caught a look of my face on the Jumbotron, it was like, and then you, because there you are and you're 75 feet tall. You cannot be distracted by anything. And it's a
wacky
scenario.
When I did it at the Nationals game, and I feel like Wilford Brimley walking out there. I really do. I feel like so fat. When I go out there and I have my suit, my fat suit, my big
But cup. You sang it great. You know what? Of the two, that was your better.
I've been fat for 50 years. I'm fat.
That was your better performance of the two, though. If you go by the audio, you did a good
100%.
Job.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was so adrenaline charged with that. Yeah. It was great. But it's this moment before a game. I sound like Bill O'Reilly.
Yes.
And, you know, you have this incredible desire to not get it wrong. And you get up there and do that. But, I look at old videos.
How do you power through a Xanax? I feel like that would completely take you out of your game.
I'm talking about a half a whatever. It was tiny.
Yeah.
Just to take the edge off. I was...
That's impressive.
It was by the way, it was a prescription. I had them for a while.
Oh, wow. Do you have any left?
No. No, it's a long time. It's a long time ago.
Oscar, he did not abuse it because all of his pills were prescribed.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I'm not a drug addict. Because everything has a prescription, Jack.
Where are my happy pills to get me up in the morning, man?
Where's my attack?
Let's go. I need my attack.
Oh, my God.
Coffee. I don't need your coffee. Put your coffee away. I need a pill. Calm down. Give me a pill. Give me a pill to get that out of there. Hey. No, all right.
Catherine, you drive.
Let me tell that. We have a few minutes. This is the opening of the week. Have a few minutes to tell this story.
Okay, good.
Rob remembers that. I would assume Rob would have to remember this. I am drinking tons of diet beverage on the old afternoon show. When I drink more of the diet beverage, it might have something or other to do with an evening before, you know.
Yes.
Because back during, you know, and I think I'm more forthright about the old Don and Mike show, when I would leave the studio as soon as possible. Loved doing the show, enjoyed being part of it, enjoyed the funny, loved it, thought Don was one of the funniest human beings in the world. Rob was super funny. I loved Buzz's news. I loved everything about the show. I enjoyed it. Everything around it I found hard to take. It was difficult to deal with the infighting and the egos.
Bad environment.
And
bad environment.
So I didn't like being around it. So I got, and I would, do a little at home, especially after I bought a bar, I'd do a little self-medicating on the. So I would come in periodically for a 3 p.m. performance. having had a little, perhaps too much the evening before. Something that to this day happens, but not nearly like
We've all done it. I remember the worst that it was is when we were going back and forth to New York. That's when we all were just crippling ourselves.
Yeah, we
and
were.
It was like
it's horrible.
We would run with our hands over our heads screaming to ruin Friday's show as soon as the Thursday show was over, because we do Thursday and Friday.
Because it was an 11 a.m. start, right?
We come in and it was like,
11 a.m. start.
Oh, God, it was tough sometimes. It was
I remember
really
somebody
bad.
Looking at me and said, so you go to that joint next to your hotel? Did you go to that late night joint next to your hotel? I said, yep. What time did you finish? 4 a.m.
Oh. That's right.
You were a younger man.
Was
then.
It Giuseppe's?
I was a younger man. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how it was humanly possible. No, now
it was.
My
head,
I would die. I would die. I would be found in a gutter and die if I tried to pull that kind of crap right now. But I'm talking about the one particular day, because I would mainline the Diet Coke just to get the caffeine in the system, and I think I overshot the runway with the caffeine. I think it was just way too much, and suddenly I got the. The dizzies, the heart rate, I thought I was going down.
Mm.
I thought I was going to pass out. Was it middle of the show or right? It might have been right what was the middle of the show?
It seemed to me it was five-ish.
Towards the end?
Like five-ish. At least halfway through. And what I remember is what really threw me, and this is when, Oscar, I was in studio producing, so I was in the room with him and Don. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy to gauge the vibe of what was going on, because it wasn't in the producer's room. I was actually in there. You didn't even wait for a commercial. And I believe you just said, guys, I got to step out right now. And it
and
was,
I mean,
you did.
I was
and it flipped me. It flipped me.
Wavy gravy. I was getting wavy gravy. I was really, but here's where I was an idiot. I got in the car because I said, I have to take myself to the ER. That's how bad.
Oh, you
I
drove felt. Yourself.
I drove myself. I remember calling my wife and telling her, I need help. It was Carla. It was Carla, right?
That was a very easy shot, Oscar. I don't think that should have been mentioned at that point. And I don't think it was Carla yet.
He can be cruel to me. That's
I don't.
Right.
You
cruel.
Were married to Carla
he's
then.
He's cruel to everyone. I think Carla and I were boyfriend, girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Okay. Oh, that's sweet. This sounds like high school. I think it might have been the other one at that point.
I've been with Carla for, we've been together for 15 years.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, and based on the what precipitated
Carla and
the behavior,
I have been together since 2003.
How dare you?
Yeah,
Rob.
I was like, it was so you called your
more
significant
longer than
other.
15 years.
Yeah,
almost 17. What? 17 years.
Okay, she graduated and but
shut
she
up.
Turned 18.
Shut up, or I'll reach through this TV screen. And I got to the to make a long story short, I got to the little satellite med place for Fairfax.
Satellite
place.
And
they take me in, they give me all the EKG, they put me in, and. After much analysis into the evening, I want to say it was like 8 o'clock, 8:30-ish, they told me it was an anxiety attack.
Oh, no.
That I had a legitimate panic attack.
Wow.
Which was really weird. And that's when, Dr. Xanax came in to play, where I think I was prescribed Xanax as needed. And then I don't think I took it. Unless I was doing a national
anthem. Unless I was at a pro baseball game.
To sing the national anthem. Because I was afraid of forgetting the lyrics.
This is for extreme.
I am so anti-medication.
Yes.
Because of everything I've read and probably drugs and what best. I've seen do to people. I just, you know, outside of my medication that comes in a bottle.
Sure.
I am very like taking, I will have a surgery and I'll have a half a bottle of the painkillers. You know, in fact, the last hip surgery I had was the only one where I took them as prescribed and finished the bottle because it hurt that long. And then that was it. I never looked back. But it scares me. So I don't,
it is scary.
I don't do that. I don't get involved with that because it feels
well, it's not
good.
Like you have an addictive personality.
God damn. Oh man. I'd like to go gambling right now. Yeah.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
Bob Fisher, I'm Roy Hobbs, your new right fielder.
My what?
Right here.
Scotty Carson sent you here?
That's right.
Fella, you don't start playing ball at your age, you retire. Scotty Carson signs him up. The judge okays the deal. Ain't talked to me yet. I got that in my deal for as long as I live. They gotta talk to me.
They got a contract.
I want to see it. Oh, come on, Hinko! $500 they give this guy to play with us. This ain't legal.
Is Carson your chief scout?
Yeah, so what if he
said he had the authority to sign me.
Yeah, well, he don't have.
Let me talk to you just a minute. He has, Pop. You said so yourself if you ever found anybody decent.
I know, Red, but look at this guy. We don't need no middle-aged rookies.
Well, we sure need somebody.
I'm in the mood for love simply because you're near me. Ba-da-da-da-da, boom, boom.
You get a load of this guy? He'd be chasing them dolls till his dick rots off.
Oh, I'm too old for that kind of thing.
Age isn't everything.
No, no.
Anyway, it's all up here.
Oh, no. Sure.
Not all up there, pal. Some of it's down here. Ooh, which, by the way, is hard as a rock.
You too? You got a bone or two?
Blue steel. Cat couldn't scratch it.
I thought I was the only one.
We're in the mood for love simply because we've got one.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
We'll never be sick, we won't get any older, and we won't ever die.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners unrivaled in their love and support of the program. We are heard from Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York, Swan Quarter, North Carolina, Myersville, Maryland, Camden, Maine, beautiful yes, little town on the beautiful coast of Maine, and Park Rose in Portland, Oregon. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Want to welcome a wonderful sponsor. Little things can make big differences. For example, I never gave my socks, especially my golf socks, a lot of thought until I tried Features. Features has engineered a sock with targeted compression, anatomical design, and moisture-wicking material for unsurpassed performance. Golf socks are a big deal for a regular golfer like myself, and these are spectacular. In a word, that's the word I can use to describe them. And I just love that they went a little further than most sock companies go when they created these features. How about this? A lifetime guarantee. Features are so durable and long-lasting that if you're unsatisfied at any point, they're going to give you a replacement pair. No questions asked. Runners worldwide have made features their sock of choice, and now you can get the same benefits specially tailored for the golf course. Mm. Hallelujah! Yes.
The best.
I've had so many golf socks that will... I do the no-see-em golf socks where they go right down to the shoe level. So often they just slide down the back of
creeping
the shoe.
Creeping down, yes.
I love the way they stay in place. No bunching or sliding down into your shoe. It reduces discomfort and prevents blisters so I can focus on my incredible golf game.
That's right. Scratch golfer, Mike O'Mara.
Whether you're golfing, running, or you just want the best socks in the world, you need features. We all got them. Family-owned since 2002. I love them. They're great. Feature socks will change how you feel about socks forever. And the good news is you can hold on to them for a long time because they last forever. You can get $10 off your first pair of features when you use the code at features.com. That's FEETURES.com. Promo code TMOS for $10 off your first pair of features. Sock it to me, baby.
Love it.
With features. They're fantastic.
Best socks I've ever worn.
Yeah,
they feel different. When you put them on, you know the minute you put them on, they feel different.
Just effing great.
Welcome features. So anyway, I've been looking forward to this. Carla, I know, texted Oscar over the weekend.
Yes, you want a sneak peek.
Because we wanted to find out. We texted you from my sister's house on Saturday night because we were talking about your Swimply. And I just love seeing, I test drive the show when I'm with a large group of people to see, the idea. And when I brought up that app, everybody was smiling, thinking about doing this. And I think a few listeners might have tried the same thing over the weekend. Yes, Rob.
Before he gets into it, do you know that there was an interview posted on CNBC.com over the weekend? Asher Weinberger is the man who co-founded Swimply. Mm-hmm. He said that since the summer began, they're up 2,000%. They were actually on Shark Tank in March.
Really?
And none of the sharks funded them. And
really?
Now they're killing. Here's the actual founder of the company. I'm sorry, hold on. Here is the founder of the company.
The CDC declared from day one that pools are safe. They're outdoor. The chlorine does mitigate the virus. So now our pools are coming back online, and especially now people need the money.
2,000%.
Hold on, is that the CEO? Yes. Is that the CEO? Okay. Mm-hmm. Play him again. You want to hear a voice? Want to hear a voice from a guy that I'm not going to base any medical decisions on? Play this guy again.
Oh, I know.
The CDC declared from day one that pools are safe. They're outdoor. The chlorine does mitigate the virus. So now our pools are coming back online, and especially now people need the money.
Mitigate the virus. Can I say mitigate? Is that safe? Lawyers, can I say that? But in any case,
that guy wakes up in the morning. He wears dollar bill underwear. I guarantee you that.
But the main point is that they could not even get funding from the sharks in March, and now they're up 2,000%. So Oscar, as always, ahead of the curve. Ahead of the curve.
Well, in fairness to me, this is out of necessity, right? And this is what's great. Once we went online, or really on air with the Swimply option, listeners from around the area were private messaging me saying, hey, if you want to come anytime, please feel free to come on over. Pool in Westminster, Maryland, a pool in the suburbs of Virginia. Just different options. And as I told Mike off air, the whole point for us is to not put anybody out, not make this a big thing. I'd rather pay for my time, go, maybe have a couple hours, maybe 2 to 3 hours with Shan, and then move along. And the idea that you can get verified, with your ID, and people have to accept you, and all of that. It's phenomenal in 2020. It's pretty crazy for a pool.
Oscar, I have a question.
Yes.
The relationship you have with your other radio partner.
Yes.
There are a lot of things. When Chad started getting a little money in the bank, he bought a home. He settled down.
Yeah.
But the biggest purchase in my as far as I knew from watching him on social media, the biggest thing he ever did, and his lifelong dream, it sounded like it was something he'd wanted his entire life, was to put a backyard pool in. And he put a bit of an oasis.
It's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful pool.
Yeah. It's just a beautiful. Gorgeous. Yeah.
And he's got to be busy on some of these weekends, right, where he's flying around. Did you ever think
Chad has invited me plenty of times. And I just
I'm not saying invited you. I'm talking about if he became aware of the Swimply thing, you know, is there a chance he'd say, hey, listen, Princess Dukes and I are going to be visiting her parents or something like that. Why don't you and Shannon just hang out one day? Would you feel comfortable doing that?
I think if it was Chance, 100%. But I feel like it's something that I don't like imposing on anybody. I'm the type of person that just would rather pay for it. And it'd be closer to my house and move on, right?
All right. I'm just
saying. It's worth a dollar a minute.
If I had a pool, though, you best believe I would be putting this. Like, the germs and everything don't make me as squeamish to move because I guess maybe in my background in running a pool.
I'm a believer in the chlorine factor, too. I've read enough about it.
It mitigates the virus.
It mitigates urine.
It does. It really does.
Well, urine, it does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't think it mitigates the virus?
No, I think it does. I just think that it was Mike brought up a very valid point that Asher Weinberger was so flip when he said, hey, you know,
he's just a little bit, you know.
Yeah, very slick.
Pose the scene. When I hear that, that voice turns into this in my brain. It goes, you're going to have to worry about chlorine. You know, it sounds good. Come on. Perfectly safe. Yeah, doctors, 10 out of 5, 5 out of 10 doctors. No, but I'm with you. I think the chlorine, by its very nature, is a virus killer.
I take this one step further. If you had kids and they want all kids, and I forgot about this until Shannon brought this up on Saturday. She said, when you were a kid, did you go to the neighborhood pool? And I said, yeah, we had a little townhouse pool, right?
Right.
Like complex and a little neighborhood pool in the townhouse complex. I remember.
Was it 5 Penny Lane? What was the name of it?
Penny Dog Lane.
Penny Dog Lane.
The pool was at the end of that street. Great
you
memory.
Go to a pool. Your mom is insane. It's another summer day on Penny Dog Lane.
So as a latchkey kid, I remember grabbing my big pool towel or whatever I could find.
Sure. Kids are gathering round. It's beginning to draw. It's starting to rain. All the latchkey kids are swimming in the pool, the community pool on Penny Dog Lane.
Wasn't your pool towel, wasn't it in an old coffee sack?
It was made out of burlap. You wouldn't believe it. It dries so fast. It was the first wiki material available to man.
All right. So you're cool with going to community pools?
Yeah.
And doing
yeah, that. Of course.
But I would go when I was younger, and I remember you always had a parent supervision. I'd be like, well, my parents are working.
Right.
And the lifeguard would be like, oh, God damn it. Fine, get in there, but you got to clean the tiles. So I remember putting the Comet on the tiles and cleaning all the tiles. As a little kid, I would say,
They were circumventing the rules of safety by making you do labor?
They knew I could swim. They just were like, if I got to watch you overtime, you got to do something. I was fine by that. Okay. No problem.
Wow.
That's, you know?
That's really not okay.
Wow.
Those tiles were Bristol, Mike. Bristol.
Well, wow. No doubt, especially when he said, I'll watch you, but you have to scrub with your shirt off.
And Comet.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Comet.
So I learned a lot as a younger man, like what it takes to keep a pool going.
Right.
And when you're there all day, people will take leaks. They will have accidents. They will do all of this. So then you're like, what's really happening here? You dip right back in and you're alive.
What's the biggest? Obviously, pee is not a crisis, but would diarrhea be more? Would that be worse than vomit? God.
Vomit is the most common thing that happens at any public pool.
Will that shut it down?
You got to go 30 minutes. You got to flash.
Poop will drain it. They have to drain them when people poop?
No. You don't have to drain it. You shock the pool.
Oh, you shock the pool. But that's it for the day.
A number two will give you a good 45 minutes to an hour out of. So everybody's just got to chill. Throw up, you can probably get done in 30 minutes, depending on the pH level of the pool.
What pool did you go to? Tomain Acres? What's happening with that?
Fecal Falls.
Salmonella Shores? Welcome to the E. coli Swim Club. 45 minutes? Somebody drops a Tootsie Roll in the pool and you got to go 45 minutes?
You don't drain it, that's for sure. Not like in Caddyshack. Oh, my God.
I'm thinking Caddyshack. Yeah. I'm thinking Caddyshack when they drain the whole pool. I thought poo was like really in a public pool.
Meanwhile, Mike, the guy that the pool manager has got the same voice as the guy that runs Swimply. It used to take an hour. We got it down to 45.
We got down to 45 minutes. We figured out that we could make a 67% profit if we shut it down to 45 minutes. We'd be fine with that.
The good news is while we shock the pool, the snack bar remains open.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll come back because you did use it, right?
You did use the swim pool this weekend. I want to give you my profile of the people if they want to bring us on, of the family that's coming to their pool, and I'll give you my full experience.
Okay, excellent. Very good. I'm excited about this. Swimply, we'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is your president speaking. The losers at Mike O'Mara's show require your feedback. Needy. They need to be rated by you to validate themselves. Insecure. Example, give the mailbag 5 out of 5 stars. Generous. Assign a 100% to the news you may not need. Lies. TMOS needs a report card. I need to make America great again. Pun. Sad. And now let's round out the promo with some of my best words. Good, strong, taco, sneaky, sweet, thick, crunch, tight, tall, milkshake, China, superior, fish sandwich, and Putin. Hooray for me. I am your king. Misguided. Very sad.
I think we should do another promo with his favorite words.
Okay, that would be fun. I like that. He likes words.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lightstream. If you want to save money this summer, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? Refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. You can save hundreds of thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. So much lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Woof. Lightstream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Phenomenal. I love this service. I love this website, and you need to check it out. If you don't, you're throwing money away. And a lot of people, if you've never consolidated that credit card debt, it is a game changer for a lot of people. Our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/TMOS. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/TMOS. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TMOS for more information. All right, back to the pool. We were getting a little, and I had a community pool that I swam in as a child too, Orchard Hill. Which is just like Penny Dog Lane. It sounds like the same, you know, the same guy that was naming it. Let's call it Orchard Hill. How about Penny Dog Lane?
I loved how, if you recall, I haven't been to a public pool in maybe 10 years, but every bathroom was the same in every public pool when I was a lifeguard or a little kid. It was a cement floor.
Right.
And then I would say roughly when I got in my teens, they started putting a rubber mat down so people would stop cracking their heads open.
Yeah, we had a wooden one at Orchard Hill. We had wooden slats.
Like decking, right. Yeah.
We had wooden, rotted, moldy, nasty-ass slats. Like we had the rubber mats. Magically eliminate all the poo feet.
We had rubber mats. And remember, I was in the Civil War neighborhood of Mosby's Landing. So I don't even know what sort of Confederate
Was he a Confederate general? Of course.
I believe he was. Let me double check. There. But yeah, it was the Mosby's Landing Pool. Just turn left at the Stonewall unit and come on in.
Mosby. By the way, I had a buddy, Republican, who was a big Civil War buff, like a lot of those guys are.
Heritage, yeah, he not hate, Mike.
Mosby. What's that?
Heritage, not hate.
That's right.
Mosby was a big name out there in Virginia. Oh my God!
So let me give you. Fantastic. Let me just give you. Yeah. We have a nice profile picture of Shannon and I on there. Just for everybody that's in there. Look, you can become a verified swimmer. You put your ID up there, just like everything else.
Mike, you can be a verified swimmer.
But you put your and it increases the because people have to accept you. You can't just book blindly. They have to say, okay, I'm going to accept this. Right. These people coming to our house. Our bio is: we are a loving couple who live in the city with our Labradoodle Santos, How sweet is that? Why wouldn't you want these people to come over?
Now stop with the Mosby. I'm disciplining myself. You discipline yourself.
Just Mike.
Let him tell us. I have it. John Singleton Mosby, also known by his nickname the Gray Goose, was a Confederate Army Cavalry Battalion commander in the American Civil War, and they like named the state of Virginia
Mike,
after him.
Everybody come to my pool. All are welcome. Just some are more welcome than others.
That could have been your cat's name if you still had him.
It's true. The Gray Ghost.
Mosby.
This is my cat. Oh, wow.
Almost worth getting the cat. Mosby. Oh, my God. Fantastic.
Mosby, not a bad name. Too bad it's about civil rights.
What a great name for the cat. So too bad we're not getting it.
On Saturday morning, we wake up. And Shannon is laying out her bathing suit. I don't know. Girls have this tendency of like picking out what they're going to wear. I'm like, this isn't a fashion show. Right. Like, I literally have the one pair of board shorts I own, and then we're moving on with life. And she says, okay, what's it look like? And she goes, oh, it's supposed to rain. I was like, no, it looks fine outside. Like, no worries. So she calls, she goes and does something for my sister around 10 a.m. She calls, she's like, look, it's going to rain. I don't know. I was like, I don't think it is. Let's just keep it rolling. I literally get to noon. Remember, we're going in at 1 o'clock.
You're going to 1 to 3 slot, right? Yeah.
And it's completely overcast. And I was like, Shannon, I'm calling it. The lady texted me and said, Do you just want to reschedule? It looks like it's going to storm outside. So, by the way, who does that? Who doesn't just take somebody's money? That was super sweet, right?
Yeah, that's very cool of the people that had the pool. That's very nice of them.
I want these people to adopt me. I'm not that nice. I'm not you booked.
Oscar, this is Mrs. Poolman.
Yes.
I was wondering if you want to reschedule.
She reached out to me because I got a little ding on my phone.
That's great.
Okay. And I was like, I call it. Shannon comes in the door around 12:30. She's like, all right, let's go to the pool. And I'm like, no, I canceled it. Like, we're going to go. We've got the Swimply dollars back. We can go when we come back from the Cape. She got so
Swimply
pissed.
Dollars.
So pissed. At me. She says, why would you
Shannon care? Did. She was looking forward to it.
The whole morning she was signaling.
She's feigning it. She's feigning. She's being that. She's giving that attitude.
Oh, I didn't.
That's how she rolls a little bit.
I didn't take that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. Because I got upset right away. I'm like, this whole morning, you're hedging your bets because you do think some pervert's going to be sneaking, looking out the window the entire time. So I called because I didn't want to go out there in the rain.
Right.
I don't mind that. And she said,
how hot was it? How
it was 100 degrees.
All right, so it's hot.
Yeah.
Mike,
it doesn't matter.
I have swam in thunderstorms. I've done all of that. I think it's fun. Right? It's not terrible. Okay. But for her who's going to lay out, who was my primary
A little sun, get a little color.
Before we went to the Cape, I was like, okay, fine. But I pulled the whole morning when someone, especially your wife, signals that, like, I was like, is she trying to get out of this? Maybe she's right. Maybe I'm not looking at the forecast.
Double smoke screen,
and
you
then,
know?
So, yeah. So then I look up when the lady calls, I was like, oh, not calls me, texted me. I'm like, you're probably right. Thank you for the consideration.
Yeah,
do appreciate it. Done.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine. Not great for the show, but fine. She comes in.
Yeah,
but like,
I would have done it. I said, that's cool.
It's $120. We'll save for till next time.
Swimply dollars.
Well, you get the Swimply dollars. You don't get the money.
No, put it in. We like to have it on account.
Put your Swimply dollars in the giraffe's mouth.
So for 3 hours, she does not let go of this. And I'm not mad. I'm more annoyed. I'm like, what am I supposed to? I thought you'd be happy because all morning you're signaling to me. That, and maybe it's just the logic of, like, I guess we're going swimming because he hasn't changed anything yet.
Right.
And you come in and disappointment.
She gets psyched. She decides to psych herself up to it.
Right. Yeah, but I got nothing. So all I hear is, like, I'm going out back to work on the yard. We have a postage stamp of a yard, by the way.
Right.
I understand.
And you know what it is? It's her turning the blower on, like, pushing
some leaves around.
Three leaves. But she's out there making racket, like she's banging stuff around. She's like coming in, are you going to help? And I'm like, no, I'm shooting off emails. Like, I'm in the living room.
She's mad at you for canceling
this.
She's
mad.
Bitter. Very bitter.
She wanted to have a chill, relaxed by the pool with her man. Saturday, she was really looking forward. It's her fault for not communicating it with you.
Mike.
That's right.
If you tell me And this is not about.
If you thought she was going to be disappointed, you would have. I would have gone out there.
Like everything, outside of her in the early morning laying out the swimsuits, and then complaining about the weather the entire time. Like, if you continue to complain, I'm going to pick up on that signal and say, she doesn't want to go to this, or the weather's not right for it. Right?
How many swimsuits did she lay out?
Just three.
Were they all two pieces?
Yeah, they're all two pieces. This is my toner. I said, which one do you care about the least? And she said, why? I said, if that pool is shocked, it will turn that red into pink. if the chlorine's strong enough, it'll kill a swim. Yeah. Not all swimsuits are made for swimming, I've learned, Mike.
How contemporary were her suits?
I don't know. These girls, they're basically buck naked these days. I don't know. The way they cut them.
We've been together for a long time as on-air people.
Cheeks for days.
And you chose that word so carefully. How contemporary.
There's like strings going up.
Yes, of course. There's one now that I saw. Well, I get the notifications.
Yeah.
Yes.
On perv.com that there's one that's got like just the string going
the
across.
Modern
the
modern suit doesn't have a full back on the back. I didn't mind. Like, it's my wife. God bless her. She stays in shape.
I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't. I'm getting distracted.
You love the idea of contemporary swimwear.
I like contemporary swimwear. I think every year they seem to outdo themselves.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, Maddie.
I'm sorry, Maddie. I know, Maddie. I know. It's like you're listening maybe your father talk like this. I'm really sorry. I you got to understand my background and my roots, okay?
I'll keep that in mind.
I used to traffic in this sordid crap every day of my life.
And back then, the swimwear was not nearly as contemporary.
No, not even close.
Not contemporary.
The hair
at all.
Was bigger. Anyhow,
good night. So
yeah, thank you.
The hair was bigger, Mike.
Yeah, like big giant 80s.
Oh,
hair.
I thought you meant something else. I'm so sorry.
No, not that. No, that was always that was always okay.
Yucky.
Just up here when you get up to Maine, I could do a whole show on it.
Oh no.
So
I think we need to just a quick reset.
Let me clarify here.
Okay,
we have to take a break. Did you end up going or not?
No, Mike. We're going to book when we come back because what are we going to go on Sunday when I got to deal with my mother? Sunday's Mom's Day.
So you ended up
we're burned.
They were cool. They let you out of the lease.
Oh yeah, they gave you back your Swimply dollars. They credit them back.
Yeah, right into your phone. My money's in the computer.
So I have to spend it, Mike, or I lose it.
That's okay. So when is there a period of time that you have to use your Swimply dollars by?
I have tentatively booked the weekend we get back from the Cape.
Mike, and also, it's best to use it before December.
Can you imagine? Out of season, sorry. A little cold.
We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to know if everybody's noticing what I noticed this weekend. It's concerning me, and my mind wandered. We'll be right back, everybody.
Some of us are getting pretty tired of just sitting around with nowhere to do any gambling. I say we start making some bets on TMOS. How many times will Mike complain about his neighbors? How often will Rob mention fruitcake? And what are the odds Oscar will destroy another part of his tiny house to save 50 cents on a plumber? For a good bet, shop on the banners of the Mike O'Mara Show. Guaranteed jackpot.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ring.
Yes.
I went out last week and purchased two new Ring cameras for inside of my house up here in Maine.
Cool.
I just wanted to have a little more coverage on the inside of the house with dogs and with my little guy. We're all home more than usual these days, but it's still hard to keep a close eye on things. More deliveries mean more boxes left unattended, more chances for packages to go missing. Jerks. Luckily, with Ring, you can keep your home safe no matter where you are. Ring is on a mission to make neighborhoods safer. From video doorbells and security cameras to smart security lighting and alarm systems, Ring has everything you need to make sure your family and belongings are safe and secure anytime, anywhere. I've got two now. Let me see. I've got one camera in Michael's room, another camera in the living room, and I've got a floodlight cam and the floodlights outside. It's fantastic. It's great to follow stuff. The technology, I think it's better than any other technology out there as far as speed of use, getting through to your cameras.
And I can't imagine you living, you know, away from your house in Florida without having that instant access. That's got to be such peace of mind.
They probably don't want me to say this at Ring, but I will. I have a cam that someone gave me from another service down in FLA, and I mean, I'm gnashing my teeth. It's terrible. Because it just doesn't connect.
Yeah.
Right.
Ring does. Get special offers on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/TMOS. The Welcome Kit has the Ring Video Doorbell 3 and Chime Pro. It's all you need to start building custom security for your home today. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS. Speaking of shopping.
Yes.
This is really, I really feel like this is always, am I the only one?
Andy Rooney.
I really noticed something the last two or three times. We live in small town America. I mean, it is small town. Unfortunately, what you have up here is a grocery store and a Walmart, and not a whole hell of a lot else. There's just there just aren't that many
it's
options.
That Walmart's a great one, though. It's wonderful.
Well,
it's
that's the question I have. Okay, has anyone been out to a big box store? I would say Wally World, Walmart.
Yeah,
and I have been noticing with each trip, and that's where we get our stuff. And by the way, we have Walmart.com.
It tabs.
Has anybody noticed that the cupboards are becoming a little more bare? Has anybody noticed that things, more and more things, and I'm talking about anything. It can be hardware. It can be.
I was at Home Depot yesterday, so I can give you that one-to-one.
Am I the only one noticing that there are more and more and more things that are being sold out? Is our supply chain getting completely boned in the United States?
I'll tell you why. And a listener actually put me onto this, and it made sense. But then I started doing a little more research, because you start thinking about, okay, well, what is actually moving? What is going away?
Right.
You probably have a lack of hoses in your Walmart, and I don't know if they replenished them for some time. Because
that was the last one that I remember that they didn't have hoses.
The supply chain that wherever they're made no one really anticipated this pandemic and the demand.
Right.
So if you're at home and you're stuck at home, think about all the projects that you had put off for years.
Oh, because, so they snowball.
So then you're like, well, I'm stuck here anyways. Might as well make the most of my time. I always wanted to make that garden or plant that garden or fix X, Y, and Z. So whether it's something that you would have bought maybe 2 or 3 years ago for a Christmas present for someone or because you needed it, all of the things that are being purchased now for the home aren't necessarily needs, they're wants. Because now that you're stuck within that square footage, you're like, is this going to be another 6 months of this? Let's make the most of this.
Yeah.
Will the wants be, and I don't disagree with you, and I think you might be right about that.
Valid.
I'm talking about kids' bikes.
Yeah.
By the way, we got a cheap one for Michael. At the Walmart, they brought a few in, and we got them. I don't think we were waiting in line. We were able to look at a few different ones and got him on one. I made a little adjustment, and he's fine. It was like a wonderful price. He needed a little bike up here. That's cool. But when you're talking about the wants, that's a want as far as I'm concerned. That's not a need.
Sure, it's a want.
I have an overwhelming sense of dread that if we do go into a phase two with supply chains, and with factories,
it
and
seems
with the
to
pandemic.
Me
yeah,
that
go
we
ahead.
Should be better than we are right now. Carrie did a Costco run yesterday, bless her heart, and she went in there to get, you know, staples, meats that we can, you know, freeze and use for the next couple of weeks. And I said, and it's got to be a regular conversation. I said, what were they out of? She said, chicken breasts and paper towels. And it's just like, they should not be out of paper towels at this point. We've been at this a long time.
We've been at it a long time, and I get concerned about the needs and the wants being with everybody being home, but not necessarily the reason being people are home, but the idea of the supply chains and the way there's talk about the post office having trouble fulfilling orders like that. Are we in a situation where, you know, not only with the pandemic, but with everything that people require to chug along, that it's going to get worse before it gets better?
I think it's, in my opinion,
or am I overreacting?
I think, in my opinion, it cannot get any worse than it was in March when it was there was a rush. And at that point, there has to be a lot that has to be factored in. It's the complete, you know, surprise to the manufacturers that there was, especially, let's take the Clorox company, for example. The Clorox company with the Clorox wipes forever. You'd be like, why don't you just make more? Why don't you figure it out?
Right.
There was a, just that company alone, there was a learning curve for all of these of like, how do I keep my workers safe and on the job? And
double production.
Within the parameters of our output. And if people are thinking, well, what's going to happen in the fall? We don't know yet, but I can guarantee.
Well, they still haven't caught up in that department.
Well, I mean,
disinfecting wipes, disinfecting spray, disinfecting anything. I believe that, hand sanitizer, I think they're okay. I get the impression that they doubled up on that. It's cheap to make, and they're making money on it, so they're there. But far as like the 99.9% of germs products, you're still not seeing a lot of those.
And we
there.
Have it's a problem so as Americans is that anytime someone says, "Man, I had a hard time finding X,"
we go and get it.
Well, the next time you go into the store, you buy three of X's, and that just makes the problem even worse because where I want to have it right now, society. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just, well, I think we're programmed that way. It's selfish.
Why do you have 10 boxes of the hand sanitizing wipes? Well, because I was told I might need them.
And
that's the way we roll.
So then you magnify that by, let's say Home Depot, and I'll give you. Everybody's, if they can, not me or anybody else, or I don't think anybody here on the show, they're upgrading their homes in one way or another. They're finally getting that bathroom redone, or they're putting a deck on their house because they need more living space. Any of that has a domino effect on supplies at a hardware store. Because everybody that can do work or is willing to do work or needs to do work because they have to feed their families. Those contractors are now racing over there and saying, how am I going to keep myself safe and my crew safe? And then it becomes boom, boom, boom. Where you're like, wow, I walk into a hardware store yesterday and it looks like it's been pillaged. And I'm like, what just happened?
Let me tell you what there's plenty of. And this is this affects people directly because everybody remembers the shortage. Remember we had that incredible shortage of toilet paper?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me tell you what there's plenty of. Toilet paper holders. Got one at Home Depot.
I got one at Home Depot.
Yeah. I got not a standalone. This is going into the wall.
Oh, all right.
I got a small footprint because it's the little circle, and I measured it basically from knee to toilet paper holder. You know, we're space challenged up here a little bit, but I'm going to put it in there just where it is, little thin little string. It's the kind you don't have to lift up, and you don't have to do the spring-loaded thing. It's just the little circle.
I hate the spring-loaded thing. Nine times out of ten when you're loading it, it ends up shooting across the bathroom.
Precisely. Antiquated technology, Rob.
I hate it.
You can just have a little hook where you put it over.
Put it on there.
And you get all the pleasure.
I nearly lost an eye.
And I got tired of sitting it on the sink and wrapping it around my hand. So, anyway, we'll take a break, and we will come back with we have a very, very fat, just like me, news you may not need right here on the Thank Mike you. O'Mara Show. King's Things. And now, here's Larry.
People love to socially distance from me. I accidentally flushed a tonsil. Don't get me started on lettuce. Nothing makes me angrier than pencil tip erasers. You can't trust Lee Trevino. Shop, shop, shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. Target and Walmart, big bargains at TMOS.com. Buy it, baby. Be a helper. That's all.
That's
Welcome
all.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Did you enjoy the most recent TMOS bonus show? You know, the one with the wives and the drinking and the fun and frolic and stuff and the surprises and the flavin and the Sheboygan.
Lady!
What, you missed it? Boy, you must feel like the leading asshole in the state. If only there was a way that you could still hear it. Wait, there is!
What?
You can get unlimited access if you subscribe to the TMOS bonus package. Full unlimited access to every bonus episode in the world. The world. No commercials, no censorship, no lie. Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Let me do that again.
All right.
No commercials, no censorship, no lie. Yeah, anyway, the whole enchilada, get it at MikeOMaraShow.com. I'm Mike O'Mara, I guarantee it. Imbibe, subscribe, and dig the vibe. And now back to Dream On, starring Brian Benben. Already in progress.
Charlie used to love
News.
Brian Benben.
News! Come on, microphone. Work with me here.
Good job.
Major League Baseball, a lot on that today, is struggling. They're struggling to operate in the... They're struggling... There are a lot of reasons why, but stuff like this doesn't help. L.A. Dodgers bench coach Bob Guerin was caught pulling his mask down to cough in the dugout.
This guy.
I did too.
Come on, man. This is depressing.
This is like the lady at the Big Sandwich in Ellsworth that I wanted to say. You know, the nose is connected to the lungs as well.
He didn't cover his mouth, didn't cough into his elbow.
It doesn't seem like that would be a really cognitive response to take your mask off to cough. Like, you would leave your mask on and cough.
Think that would be the ultimate thing you would do.
Ultimate.
Weird. Guess he thinks he's going to reinfect himself. Who knows? Guerin may not have done it intentionally. Maybe he isn't used to wearing a mask or doesn't know how they work. But as someone pointed out, quote, he's literally summing up the MLB season in one gif. He really is.
Yeah.
It's worth noting MLB makes masks optional on the field, but they're mandatory in non-playing situations, including
what about
the clubhouse
catchers?
And dugout.
They still have to wear a mask, don't they? For safety.
Bada-bing, bada-boom. MLB's non-bubble plan is failing. Just 1 week into the season, the Miami Marlins were shut down after half the team tested positive. The Philadelphia Phillies stopped playing for testing and precautionary reasons, and the teams they were supposed to be playing have been sidelined as a result. Over the weekend, the St. Louis Cardinals were also shut down after several players tested positive. They're blowing it. MLB. Yeah. Two players on other teams have quit the season. Lorenzo Cain of the Milwaukee Brewers and Yoenis Cespedes. I wish I knew how to pronounce that goddamn name. I always have problems with it. Yoenis Cespedes of the New York Mets. They just didn't show up to yesterday's game. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred vowed to continue. He said, quote, we're playing. I'm not a quitter in general, and there's no reason to quit now. We've had to be fluid, but it's manageable. No, it's not, dude.
It's not at all.
Except with all that travel.
Not even close.
He previously said if they can't make up all the missed games, they'll select playoff teams based on winning percentage, not their actual wins. Come on. The bubble might work, but I'm even suspect of that. You can't do it traveling around. As of yesterday, Major League,
that the World Series will be determined by two people cutting a deck of cards.
As of yesterday, Major League Baseball had postponed 33 games in a little over a week.
Can I get your take on the NBA, Mike? Did you get a chance to watch any of the games? It's been pretty prolific.
I don't watch the NBA. I'm not a fan. But, I mean, their model is better than most, and they're technologically. It's still suspect. It's very, because, you know, I think they're going to, if they adhere to the rules and the way it's laid out and that incredible testing they're doing, I just think that, My feeling on the NBA and all of it, Oscar, is it's much more general than just the NBA.
Okay.
I think we are in a situation in this country where we don't f-ing get it.
Okay.
Where we want our candy and our dessert before our dinner. We just are toddlers. You might have to give up some of this. And then when you've got the leagues themselves, it's money, 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 advertising revenue.
I look at it this way, and I agree with you. I couldn't deny what you just said, where there's greed involved, it's business involved, and at what price. On the other side, the success that the NBA has had to date, where they have this bubble.
From a fan's perspective,
if you've never been a fan of the NBA, this is the time to check it out, because there's so many games in one day that you get to watch. And also, the coverage overall is completely different than what you've seen in the past. So from a producer standpoint, and Mike, maybe even talent, where you look at it, you're like, I can't believe they're pulling this off. This is amazing. Just the sheer video walls that they have around the courts that show fans and then show the team logos. It's fun to watch. The other side is, if you are if you ever think that there's a way, if maybe you're in the throes of I don't know if they're ever going to be able to contain the coronavirus. I don't know if there's ever a solution. I look at the NBA and say, wow, look at these people. They've been sequestered. They're in this quote unquote bubble. They're being asked to do everything right that they're supposed to be doing, and they're not getting any outbreaks.
Yeah. And you know what? I think time will tell. We'll see what happens with that. It's just, I hope it works because then it will be a model, because you can do it with every team sport. You can do it with the NFL if you need to.
You could.
And,
I'm wondering with those big video screens if they couldn't actually improve it by bringing the strip clubs into the bubble via video.
That didn't help.
That might help just a little bit.
If you do the proper testing, just bring a few of the ladies. All right, anyway. Brad Garrett from...
Call them hostesses, Mike.
Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Hey, Brad.
He tweeted a link to Ellen's apology regarding her show and the way people are mistreated. And she was talking about, she wanted to make it a nice environment. That was her rule. Anyway, Brad said, sorry, but it comes from the top. No more than one who were treated horribly by her. Talking about Ellen. Common knowledge. This has been going on for a long time.
Rumors.
This is the phony of phonies right here. Sorry, Ellen. Then Leah Thompson from Back to the Future, she replied, quote, true story. It is.
Oh, no.
Even though her producers say she's not going anywhere, there's already talk Ellen wants out. And Ellen might not have a big
argument. Oh, she's
going to
take her ball and go home?
Yeah, exactly.
She might want to do that. And, of course, James Corden could be her successor. Who anointed his ass? Who anointed him? God, do we have any originality anything anymore?
That's funny.
God, on a related note, BuzzFeed talked to several former Ellen employees who said executive producers engaged in rampant sexual misconduct and harassment.
Man,
what is that?
Man.
It just seems so strange that in that environment it would happen in this day and age. Maybe I'm naive, but I get weird about that.
When I hear that story, Mike, it makes me feel like dancing.
Yeah, really. Anyway, Wilford Brimley, actor, cowboy, blacksmith, and warrior in the fight against the deadly diabetes, passed away on Saturday.
I'm
he was 85
Brimley,
years old.
I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes.
There you go. play it again, please. I'm sorry.
I'm Wilford Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes.
You know,
this hit me kind of hard. I'm not going to lie.
His agent says he had been in the hospital with various issues, probably including the beatus. He was also on dialysis. Brimley really was a rancher, a rodeo rider, and a blacksmith. He was also a bodyguard for the eccentric millionaire Howard Hughes. In the 60s, he started working as a TV extra on westerns like Gunsmoke and Bonanza. He once said, quote, we used to saddle up and they give us a breech cloth, an Indian wig, rub some body makeup all over us, and we'd be Indians fleeing over the hills from the soldiers. Then we'd change into soldier uniforms and go back and chase ourselves over the same roads. I like that quote. Curmudgeon, though, the definition of a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
There's an interview floating around that people were putting up with Craig Ferguson that is spectacular. It demonstrates why... Why Craig Ferguson? I so wish he was still on television, because he didn't mind the pause. He was not manic. And Wilford Brimley's doing his curmudgeon act, and Craig Ferguson knows how to handle it 1,000%. Craig Ferguson.
What does he do?
Wilford Brimley does a lot of nope. Yep.
You want to do that?
He's got kind of that.
Yeah.
And Craig Ferguson's spectacular, and they end up being friendly to another.
Does he call him on it with like a comment, and then Wilford's like, oh,
No, he doesn't call him on it at all.
No,
he's completely unfazed by it.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't do it. You know, he rolls with it. Craig is the anti
James Corden, because here's what the deal
is. He's totally the anti James Corden.
James Corden is scared for one unused second of audio air. Okay. He's got to fill it all. You know what? Watch Letterman when he has an awkward interview. Letterman would
with the Joaquin
silence.
Phoenix.
The best example. He would let that silence hang in the air because it's awkward and people dig that. That's what you do.
And Brimley is the classic curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Which basically, you know, it's so funny when we talk up here among my family and friends and you'll hear somebody say, he's turned into a bit of a curmudgeon. And then I don't want to tell the person, by the way, we all turn into curmudgeons.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the beast. Yeah. Angry white guys just sitting there going, Carla calls me on it. You know, Carla, sometimes I'll wake up and I'll say something because I'm watching the news in the bedroom and she'll say something along the lines of, so you're going to start your day? You're not going to wait at all to just be like that? That's true.
God bless her.
He went on, Wilford Brimley, to a pretty legendary career with memorable parts in classic movies. You know, Cocoon.
Yeah.
I love him as Pop Fisher in The Natural. I thought that was just the greatest old-time baseball manager. Mm-hmm. And he started, he was in The China Syndrome. That was a big break for him.
I remember that. He was also great in The Firm. And remember, he played the Postmaster General in Seinfeld, which was great.
Great exchange with Craig Ferguson. Craig Ferguson said something like, so you were a bad guy in The Firm, weren't you? And Brimley goes, no, I wasn't. I wasn't a bad guy. He's just being the contrarian, talking about, I got paid to do my job. I wasn't one of them slimy lawyers or something. And Ferguson, do Craig Ferguson a little for Brimley.
That's awesome.
Watch how you do an interview without being a dick. And Letterman would always be a little more dickish, which was fine too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great. So Wilford Brimley, safe home, safe travels.
He was a great career.
And still, I mean, early, back over a decade ago, when people told me when I was 50 that's how old Wilford Brimley was when he made Cocoon, which is stunning. If you go back and look at that, you can see he had a shelf life as far as his acting career, but he aged rather rapidly.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. An Irish pub in Spain has banned Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline because people are so likely to sing along and spread droplets. That's the coronavirus news of the day.
Singing.
There's a 35-year-old relationship expert named John Hocking in Sydney, Australia, and he's pitching a new dating policy. Never date a man in his 30s.
Mm.
Hold on.
Hey!
In their 30s, guys are most likely to have some commitment issues, since that's the age range when most guys have settled down. So she says it's better to date divorced guys in their 40s. Hi, Carla!
Hello!
And on up. Here's the quote. Sure, they may come with some baggage, like the bitter remnants of a divorce and a few kids, but it also means they've proven they aren't scared to commit. I'm not. At least for a decent amount of time.
This is a phrase that we coined on this show years ago. Douchebag 30s.
Douchebag
30s. It's a problematic decade. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Absolutely. Go, go to one of those, go to Las Vegas when we reopen and, check out the guys that come, eight guys come walking into the hotel lobby with cigars in their mouths.
That's right.
Douche. There we go. That's it. And now a little something. A 24-year-old guy, his name was Delmitris Wilson from Clearwater, Florida. He was the passenger in a car accident on Thursday, and he wanted to get away before the cops got there because he's a drug dealer, and he had a backpack full of drugs.
Mm. Oh, dear. Mm-mm. This is no good.
So he took off running, and he hid in the first building he spotted. What he didn't realize, it was a fire station. The firefighters inside called the cops, and they arrested Delmitris. His backpack had a variety of drugs, including marijuana, crack, and codeine.
Hey! Yeah, it's good stuff.
He's been charged with drug trafficking. Meanwhile, for some reason, the firefighters are still sleeping.
I'm tired.
I don't know. That's a Monday kicker right there.
Codeine, I imagine.
Codeine and took it out of his thing. Anyway, that's it. Now they're sleeping. Nobody's putting out any fires. Oh, my God.
I feel so cozy.
You won't get any older and you won't ever die. I'm Wilford Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you, if I may, about diabetes.
Thank
you. Diabetes. The beatus. I don't know if the beatus got him or not. He's old.
Nobody knows.
No. We'll come back with the audio vault and Rob Stewart right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
I would say
what would he say? Find out every Friday. It's Oscar's Take on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Oscar's Take.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Patron Society. Friends, things are bad. Here it is. Another Monday. We made it through the weekend, but just barely.
Phew.
Phew. You see, we exist through the kindness of others, and those others are you. So, if we need your help, no two ways about it, and everything counts. What may seem insignificant to you can really make a big difference to us. Here's how you can help. It's the TMOS Patron Society. We need you to go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click on the Patron Society banner, and make a pledge to TMOS. $10 a week, or any amount to keep us chugging along. If you're here, we'll be here. If you can contribute, please do. Your support means the world to us now more than ever. We appreciate you, and we thank you. Let's open up the audio vault for the... We are in August, guys. Mm-hmm. It's officially August, and so glad things are starting to wind down. Not! Anyway,
everyone's
take
so
it away,
excited
Rob
Spiro. To be a part of the good times, Mike. October 20th is when it comes out. It's called Green Lights. It's a book by Matthew McConaughey. And if nothing else, this guy just knows how to sell what he sells.
Ever since I learned to write, I've been keeping a journal. 2 years ago, I worked up the courage to take all of those journals off into solitary confinement just to see what the hell I had. And I returned with a book. Yes. This is my sights and scenes, my nices and means, successes and failures, stories, people, places, poems, prayers, prescribes, and a whole lot of bumper stickers. It's called Green Lights because it's a story about how I have, and we all can, catch more of them in this life we're living. You see, we don't like the red and yellow lights because they take up our time, right?
Yeah.
I'd want to hear that.
I love him. He's such a cool movie star.
I do too.
Such a movie star.
You know who would be a good fill-in, maybe, if Ellen gets fired? Drew Barrymore is launching a talk show.
Oh, wow.
And she did a really clever promo. You can see this on the YouTube. Do you remember when she was promoting E.T. and she did an adorable appearance with Johnny Carson? It's legendary because she's like just a kid. They blue screened or did some sort of CGI where she's interviewing herself as a little kid. And it's pretty funny. Here's Drew Barrymore talking to herself.
Please welcome Drew Barrymore.
I've been waiting all my life to meet you.
It's been a wild ride. Can you believe I have two daughters around your age?
Kind of scary.
I have so much to fill you in on. Want to hear about our new daytime show?
I'd love to.
We're going to spend an hour every day celebrating life.
Oh.
I'm so excited. I could scream. Want to do it with me?
Guys, ready?
So that's, I don't know about the wisdom of launching a talk show in this kind of climate, but that's what she's doing, and that's how they're promoting it. Pretty good. Meanwhile, things in California, not so good.
Gosh, I was hoping I'd be able to report better news, but no, actually, California is pretty much shut down again. The only thing open here now are beaches, grocery stores, and Will Smith's marriage.
I want to tell you.
Bada bing, bada bing. That's from real time. By the way, Bill Maher, boy, if there was ever a man on television that wants a live audience, it's Bill Maher.
Yeah. Oh, he looks hungry,
it's
doesn't he? Tough.
It's in his DNA.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these guys really, some of the guys like Colbert can handle it because I don't know how, you know, he mugs no
he's
matter what.
He's talking to the camera, yeah.
Exactly.
He's talking to the camera. He's more of a camera guy. But I feel for Bill Maher.
I do, too.
I think they
came up
of
through
a
the clubs because he came up through the clubs. I think that's why. It finally happened. A home run was hit and smashed into the face of a cardboard cutout in a Major League Baseball game.
Dodger
Will Smith hit a home run into a guy's face and actually made it so the guy felt pretty good about it.
Dodger career. Smith hits.
Here's the home run.
To left center field. Yeah. And it's a leadoff home run for Will Smith. Cardboard cutouts, and he almost took that guy's head off.
I had about 30, 40 text messages. My phone.
This is the guy.
And I watched a video, and there's myself getting hit in the head on TV, and the announcer was saying, holy, that guy just got his head taken off. And it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, he reached out to me, and, you know, I'll hook him up with a ball or something, and probably apologize again for, you know, hitting his head off.
It's a bat, which I never expected at all. Will Smith is sending me his baseball bat, so it's been a pretty crazy turn of events.
He actually took the bat that he used on the shot and autographed it and sent it to the guy. I thought that was
great
pretty
moment,
cool.
A bright spot among a lot of questionable spots.
Agreed.
In baseball.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what's sad? That's the greatest moment of the entire baseball season so far.
<I know>.
That's it.
Yeah, it sucks.
All right, I want to thank Pony for sending this along. Are you familiar with Yoshi? Mike, we'll close with this. Yoshi is a dinosaur in Nintendo games. Okay, and he's been around for a long time. And when you hear him in a Nintendo game, Yoshi sounds like this. So that's how Yoshi talks. Turns out that's just a human voice sped up. And so someone slowed down Yoshi so you can hear the actual human voice.
No, I thought they took that from the old Diamond in the Morning show, and that's Bert Weiss.
Oh, that is Bert Weiss, as a matter of fact.
Hey, Diamond, my own show. Hey.
So when you slow Yoshi down, you get to hear the voice actor and how he actually sounds as Yoshi.
Yeah. Hoo-ha. Ha-ha. Ho-ho-ho. He-wow. He-ho-ho. He-ho-ho.
Did Pony give you this?
What?
Did Pony...
Oh, Mike, actually, I misspoke. This is actually Pony after two martinis.
Oh, my God, that's so drunk.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's get back to Diamond in the Morning.
Yeah, you're right, Diamond.
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it, Diamond. We got to get out of here. Diamond.
Yoshi Weiss.
Yoshi Weiss. Still doing a morning show, isn't he, down in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Is he still on the air down there?
I'm not mistaken, he is.
Everybody listens to Bert Weiss.
Yeah, no, but he's still on.
Yeah.
Of course he is. Right?
Of course he is.
Of course he is. Thanks for joining.
Really?
There it is. Why shouldn't you give? Thanks for joining us for another perfect episode of TMOS. Don't forget, we're dying to hear from you. Messages for the weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS, Post Office Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Need assistance? Ponyboy at MikeOMaraShow.com. Thank you, Rob. If you can lend your support, please click on our Patron Society banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. Means more than you know. Thank you for listening, and join us again next time for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Quaker Oats. It's the right thing to do.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now get home safely. Good night.
It's been a good day. My God, what a good day for mankind.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night, Newman.
Bye-bye.